So good morning, everybody. Today is Pentecost. So the word Pentecost is a Greek word that means 50th, all right, or 50. And if you look at the calendar, today is the seventh Sunday after Easter, which is only 49 days. So why is it called Pentecost? Well, because, as so often happens, early Christians decided to put their holiday on an already existing Jewish holiday, which was known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of the First Fruits. And so that was the holiday that celebrated 50 days after the first harvest of wheat in the year. And so that's where it came from, and that's why it's called 50th, and that's why it's called Pentecost. But many Christian churches call Pentecost White Sunday. And it's called White Sunday because Pentecost is a Sunday where there's lots and lots and lots of folks who want to get baptized on Pentecost. And the common attire for baptism is a white robe. And so it's called White Sunday or Whit Sunday. And many European towns actually consider the Monday after, which is called Whit Monday, a holiday. But then there are other churches who celebrate the red, who focus on the red. The red being the symbol of the flames that appeared over the disciples' heads. There are churches who just deck out, can you imagine? Just deck out in roses and red. And there are actually churches that have mechanisms or balconies where they actually throw rose petals off so that the petals fall down on the heads of the congregants like flames from heaven. There are actually churches who will hand out red handkerchiefs at the door when you come in so that during the service, you actually wave it over your head like a red flame. And they say their churches aren't gay. What can I say? But many churches like ours celebrate Pentecost as the time that we get in touch with the Holy Spirit within us, where we reconnect with the Spirit that dwells within, where we reaffirm that connection, where we validate once again that Spirit does live within us, and where we honor and celebrate that relationship. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Will you pray with me? Mother, Father, God, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be together on this day. And we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to celebrate our connection with you again through Spirit. And we just ask that while we are here, that you dwell among us and with us, work through us and in us as Spirit, that we may reconnect with that relationship again. And I ask, God, that you allow my words, my language, my tongue, to speak the words that you would have spoken in this place this day. In all your names that are holy, we thank you, God. Amen. So if you are of a certain age, you'll remember that soap operas used to start Monday on soap operas because there had been a weekend since the last episode. They would always start off with the voiceover saying, "The last time we saw Ellen." All right, so let's start with the last time we saw the disciples. All right, the last time we saw the disciples, they were hiding for their lives. It was during the crucifixion, and most of the disciples went and hid because their leader was being crucified. They didn't know about what they would be next. And so they were in hiding for their lives. And so over these 49 days, they were still in hiding. And not only were they in hiding, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers were in hiding as well, because if the Romans could kill Jesus, they could kill his family just as easily. So they were in hiding for their lives. But what we don't hear a lot about from the pulpit is during that 49 days, Jesus was visiting them pretty regularly. Jesus was eating with them, he was teaching, he was talking to them. He was there pretty regularly for these 49 days. And they wanted to leave Jerusalem. They thought it would be a whole lot safer if they got out of town. And Jesus kept insisting, no, stay until God visits upon you the Holy Spirit. So now we fast forward to the celebration, the Festival of Weeks. And in the house that they were gathered in, suddenly there was this sound of wind, this great sound of wind. Now, the important thing here is it was only the sound of wind. There was no wind. We don't hear about the house being tore up. And in fact, the sound of wind is what drew the crowds. If there had really been a big wind, the crowds would have ran from it. So it was the sound. And the purpose of the sound of wind was to draw a crowd. So the first part of this story is this sound that drew the crowd. And so when they got there, what did they see? Well, they saw that there was this flame that split and then hovered over the heads of the disciples. All right? And what we know about the Spirit descending upon people is that very often there is a physical ramification or a physical representation of that Spirit. Remember when Jesus was baptized and when he came up, the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. All right. In this case, it's descending on them as flames, as tongues of flames. Even if there's not a physical manifestation, though, whenever Spirit descends upon someone, there's always an instruction. There is always the instruction to do something. There's always clarity of what they need to do. There's always an instruction. Think about when Jesus was baptized. The Spirit came upon him, and he immediately knew what he needed to do. It was time to start his ministry. He needed to go to the wilderness and confront the devil and start his ministry. All right? Think about a few weeks ago, Pastor was talking about Philip and the eunuch. When the eunuch was sitting there reading Isaiah and couldn't really understand it, and the Spirit came down upon Philip and said, go, explain it to him. There was always an instruction. So here's the Holy Spirit coming down on the disciples, the flame, giving them the instruction on what to do. And what do? They start talking. They start preaching. They start preaching in languages they don't even know they know. All right? They start preaching in tongues. Now, the thing to understand here is they started speaking languages that made it easier for the people who were present to understand what they were saying. That's what tongues is all about here in the Bible, is they spoke a language to make it easier for the people listening to understand their message. All right? So when we see the Pentecostal church, and when we hear of speaking of tongues, many people say that if there's no one, if someone speaks in tongues and there's no one in that congregation that understands it, maybe it's not real. Actually, I used to go to MCCDC years ago when Dr. Reverend Candace Schultes was preaching, and one of the things that she used to teach was, if someone speaks in tongues and no one there can interpret what it is from their own language, it may not be valid. It may not be divine. It may not be inspired. Because the point of speaking in tongues was so people could understand, so they could get the message. All right? So that's what happened. They started speaking in tongues, and people were amazed. Oh my God, there was this big noise, and then there were flames, and then these people started talking in my language. This is amazing. And then some people said, no, they're just drunk. And so out of nowhere comes Peter. All right. The last time we saw Peter, he was denying Christ three times before the cock crowed. And now suddenly, he's going to step up. Suddenly, he's going to stand out in front of everyone and start to preach. Yeah, let's remember when we met Peter. When we met Peter back in Matthew 16, when Jesus met Peter, Peter's name was actually Simon. And he changed Simon's name to Peter, and he said, on this rock I will build my church. Peter is the rock of the church. He had the flame over his head, and he suddenly got the clarity. He was suddenly given the orders. He saw the light. It's now. It's time. I start the church. I become the rock today. And he stepped up, and he did it. And that's why Peter stepped forward. The church, this is the birth date of the church. The church started with Peter stepping up and preaching. Now, we don't hear about Peter preaching much, do we, up until this point? Wonder if he could preach. Wonder how good was he. Well, let me tell you about Brother Peter. But Brother Peter preached so well that 3,000 people went to be baptized after he got done preaching. That's pretty good preaching, isn't it? Yeah. 3,000 people went to be baptized to follow Christ. And this is another reason why Pentecost is thought of as the day of baptism, is because so many were converted on that day. So he began the church. He started to build the church as of this day. So that's the story, and that's where Pentecost comes from. But how does that... Her. Actually, I think the voice of children and the voice of babies, I don't care where it is, it's the voice of God speaking. So, you know, maybe I said something wrong.
But did you understand it?
I did. I think it's feeding time. So, yeah, there you go. So, how does this apply to us? What does this story say to us? When we look at our belief that part of God dwells within us, that Spirit dwells within us, how does the Pentecost story help us to reconnect with that, to reaffirm our connection with Spirit? Well, I want you to think back to a time when you were truly inspired, a time when the light bulb went off. You know, I think if they wrote the story today, it would be light bulbs, not flames over the head, all right? But think back to a time when you had that moment, that aha moment, that the light went on, all right? And I want you to come back from that. What happened just before it? Think about it. Were you drawn? Were you questioning? Was something inside of you pulling you, drawing you, looking for something? Were you... was the wind, was the sound of wind, not gas, the sound of wind inside you pulling you, drawing you to something, and then boom, there it was. Bam. Oh, of course. Oh, my God. Look at this. And then what did you want to do when you had that inspiration? Didn't you just want to run out and tell everybody about it? Oh, my God, look what has happened. But what we had to figure out was, we had to say it in words that people would understand. Okay, so let's back up. So take that moment of inspiration. I don't care when that moment was. I don't care if it was a moment when you suddenly realized this is the relationship. This is where I want to be. I don't care if it was when you realized this is the career I want. Oh, my God, I want to do this work. I don't care if it was a job that you took. I don't care if it was the moment you understood your sexual orientation. I don't care if it was the moment you understood your gender identity. It was that aha moment. All right? Think about that moment. The moment it just became so clear what you needed to do. And I am saying to you, this is a spirit moment. This is a spirit moment. It is an inspired moment. The flame was burning above your head. Now, there are some of us that are so stubborn, so controlling, know exactly how we want things to happen, and nothing else is going to sway us from it, that the flame has to burn a little longer. And when it burns a little longer, sometimes it leaves a mark. Okay? So, you know, the aha moment takes a little longer. But that aha moment was the moment that suddenly changed your life. Suddenly became part of your life, and you had to run out and tell people. But you didn't know how to tell people. Because if it was a relationship that perhaps others didn't understand, if it was a job that others didn't think was all that powerful, if it was about orientation or about identity, we had to find a language. We had to find the words that we could use so they would get it, so they would understand. We spoke in tongues. We speak in tongues all the time. I'll prove it to you. Oh, he's such a good boy, such a good boy. There's a tongue, you know? And I was so glad to see you all come in because, you know, coming over and go, oh, go, 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 go. There's a tongue, right? No, she's not here, but, you know, we talk to babies in a tongue. You know, Genevieve talks in a language with her science buddies at work that she doesn't use with us, all right? Hucky, when she's talking ducks and geese. She's speaking a language to them that lets them know she's not a threat. That she's, maybe they don't see that she's going to help, but they don't watch the videos. They don't fly away. They kind of run away, but she speaks a language to them that they get. They understand. You know, Sterling, when he cuts hair, he talks a language to folks that lets them know they can just chat, and they can chat about anything and feel comfortable and chat about it. We all speak languages. We all speak in tongues. We speak the words necessary to be understood. And then we go and do. You went and did. All right? You did it. Whatever it was, whatever the inspiration was, you went and did it. You got into the relationship. You went through with whatever process it was that this spoke to. But I'm going to suggest to you, well, let's wait on that one. I want to read something to you. I'm going to quote, and some of you may have picked up on the reading this morning. I'm going to quote Eugene Peterson. Now, if you know anything about Eugene Peterson, he's a well-known theologian in the Presbyterian Church and considered a scholar, a biblical scholar. But last year, he was also very conservative. Last year, he actually was quoted as saying that he supported same-sex marriage. And then when he was confronted about it, he backed off of it, and it just caused a whole bunch of hubbub. So you may have heard of him. Yes, he's conservative, but people are starting to believe that maybe his personal beliefs are different than what he says in church. The whole point of this is, though, he is a respected biblical scholar. And when we talk about, did you do the work? Did you do what the inspiration said? Here's what he says. In our Bible texts, spirit anointing means being given a job by God. It means employment. We are, in effect, told that there is a job to be done, we are assigned to do it, and we can do it. Spirit anointing connects our work with God's work. Spirit anointing is the sacramental connection linking God's work with our work. So what am I telling you here? What I'm suggesting to you is this. You had that inspired moment, and again, I don't care what the inspiration was about. You had that inspired moment, and I'm saying to you, that was spirit. That was a spirit moment. God telling you what you needed to do next. That changed your life. And your life is your ministry. Because what God instructs us to do is in line with God's work. You hearing me? So what I'm saying is those moments of inspiration, those moments that changed your life, were also instructions on your ministry. Your life is your ministry. Everything in your life is your ministry. Everything you do is your ministry. So those inspired moments, whether it was orientation, whether it was identification, whether it was the couple that you became, whether it was the job, the career, I don't care. That inspired moment was God telling you, this is part of your life now, and your life is mine. It is your ministry. Can I get an amen or a nod? Amen. Think about the power of that. What I'm saying to you is that we constantly have inspired moments. We have Pentecostal moments in our lives all the time, all right? And those are the moments that shape our lives because our lives are our ministry. Whether it is orientation, whether it is identification, whether it is the job we do, whether it is the work that we do, it is our ministry. I don't care what it is. You know, I can almost guarantee you that Genevieve had a moment where she went, oh my God, this is the work I want to do. I need to work on saving the earth. I can almost guarantee you that Hucky had a moment where she said, this is what I want to do. I need to be working with preserving wildlife, saving animals. I can almost guarantee you Sterling had a moment where he said, this is what I need to do. I need to cut hair because it's what makes me feel good. And that became their ministries. Whatever it is that you are doing is your ministry if it was inspired. Amen? Amen? So, what am I saying? I'm saying Pentecostal moments happen all the time. You've had several. You're going to have more. So what I'm saying to you is the next time you hear the wind, the next time you feel drawn, the next time you feel a yearning that you're moving towards something, that you need something, that you're expecting something, that you're a little off balance, that something's coming, go with it. Go to that sound and stop and open up, because what it means is inspiration's coming, the flame is coming, light bulb's coming. Be open to the light bulb. Be open to the flame. Be open to the inspiration, so that when you are inspired, go out there and tell everybody about it in the language that they will understand. And when you do that, it becomes part of your life. It becomes part of your ministry, because your life is your ministry. Amen?
Amen.
So let it be.